All right, I forgot to do one very important thing when I started tonight. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Bryce Tidwell. I'm not Garth Brooks. I know it looks like it with this microphone. But my name is Bryce. I'm the youth minister here at Sunset. I need to tell y'all a couple more things that I forgot. I get a little bit nervous at the first, when you get everybody in here and get going and stuff. But youth leaders, remember that we're going to have a meeting immediately after worship tonight. We're going to go through these back doors. It's going to be the second door on your right at the conference room. We're going to cram in there, and if we don't all fit in there, that's okay. We can find somewhere else to go. Also, I need to remind Sunset kids, if you signed up to help with serving when we dismiss for communion tonight, go ahead and go back and get ready to serve. That is all that I've got as far as that goes. We're going to get into the lesson. Before we do that, let's bow and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for this time that we have to come here and to worship you together. So pray that you be with us as we go throughout this lesson. I hope that each person in this room can find something in it that will be helpful in their lives. Help us to remember, Father, that above all, that you are to be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. The word is awesome. Awesome. Have you ever thought about that word? Have you ever really given any thought to that word? We use it every day, don't we? All right? You can hear. Awesome. I know I use it all the time. And we use it in ways that I don't think that it's really meant to be used. Like, oh man, look at that awesome car that's driving down the road, huh? But then you go into school and you're like, man, that was an awesome map. Awesome. That teacher's so boring. And then you go home and you tell your mom about your day at school and say that lunch was awesome today. I know that's probably not realistic, but awesome. It's a word, it's kind of like love. We use it a lot, don't we? I use it all the time to describe all sorts of different things. None of them, which I believe really fits the true definition, if you were to look in Webster's, it would look something like this. Something that leaves you in awe, admiration, or wonder. Truly awesome. It's not that car driving down the road. It's not that nap that you took in third hour. And it's not that lunch that you ate in the school cafeteria, I guarantee you that. Awesome. This is what's truly awesome. How many in here have ever heard of Bill Engvall? Yeah, he's a comedian. If you don't know who he is, I encourage you to go home and check him out. He is a one funny dude. A few years ago, he put out a CD. The title of this CD was, Now That's Awesome. In preparing for this lesson, I went back and I pulled that CD out of my case and I was listening to it just to refresh my memory on the things that he said were awesome. And he talked about three things. I'll give them to you here. Winning the lottery twice. Now, not that we promote gambling, that's what he says, okay? Number two, getting a call from the IRS. Telling you that they owe you $50,000. Lastly, ladies, actually, this is for you. If we woke up tomorrow morning and there was a headline in the newspaper that said scientists have discovered a way for men to experience childbirth, he says that would be awesome. So as I'm going through all this in my mind and I'm thinking about all this, it gets me to thinking about what would I think is awesome. As Bryce Kidwell standing up here before you tonight, what would be awesome for me? So I thought I'd give you a couple of things I came up with. I've been looking for a house. And anybody who knows me knows about this space and knows about all the weird twists and turns that it's taken. But finding a house that I could actually buy and just be able to move into. When y'all get older, you'll understand that. It's hard to buy a house. Secondly, right now, it's been a very good weekend for me, but it's been a very long weekend. I need a nap. I need that nap that we were talking about earlier. And lastly, I'm a big Oklahoma fan, Oklahoma Sooners. I would love to see them win the national championship this year. I hope that they get there. And for me, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. But the question tonight isn't what Bryce thinks is awesome. It isn't what Bill Engvall thinks is awesome. It's this. What would be awesome for you? as we're sitting in this room right now, what would be awesome in your life? I know we've got a lot of different age groups, probably anywhere from like 7th grade, 12th grade, and senior citizens. What would be awesome? For those of you who are seniors, would it be graduation? It's almost here, isn't it? It's getting closer. You never thought it would come. And now it's finally here. And it's going to go faster and faster the longer you're around. Would it be more money? You always need more money because you always got to have new jeans, new clothes, new shoes, go to the movies, eat out with your friends. You know, all the basic, simple things that everybody does, right? For those of you who play sports, would it be scoring that winning point, the winning touchdown, or hitting that game-winning home run? For those of you who are younger, would it be 16? Turning 16, you finally get that license, you're in the car, you can go, do whatever you want. Would that be awesome? I know I couldn't ever wait, and now I don't even remember it. Again, for those of you who are seniors, would it be being accepted into that school of your choice? You know, that dream school, if I could just go there. That'd be so awesome. But this isn't even the real question tonight. I believe it's this one. What about spiritually? Spiritually thinking, what would be awesome for you? Would it be God sitting in here in this room with us, like if you could actually physically see him? You know, when I was a little kid, I would always sit in the pew, and I would look up, and, you know, I'd be searching the rafters, because you know, I always say, you know, God is here with us. And so I'm looking, where is he, where is he, where is he? How awesome would it be if you could actually physically see the presence of God in this building? I would love that. That would be so reassuring in my heart, if I could see that. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it would be something like an experience like Paul, as he's on the road to Damascus. You remember that story? He's on the way to persecute and kill Christians, and this bright light shines down from heaven and says, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Can you imagine the look on Paul's face as he falls to his knees? He says, "Who are you, Lord?" What an awesome experience that must have been for Paul. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what that would be like. Tonight, I want us to take a look at one man in the Bible who had a truly awesome experience. We read about him. If you take your Bibles, open them back up to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. I'm going to have to find it again myself. Genesis 28. Next point. Do you remember Jacob? You remember that guy in the Bible? Don told us a little bit about his story right before he read that scripture. You remember Jacob, he had a brother. His name was Esau. They were twins, actually. Esau was the older of the two. And Jacob, I don't know that he was always jealous, but his mom always wanted him to have the birthright. And so they fixed it up, they fixed the meal, they put the sheep hair on his arms and on his neck, and so that when his father blesses him, he sings for his Esau. Can you imagine your brother goes out in the field to kill the deer to get the blessing, and you steal it from behind his back? What a sorry guy. I can't imagine doing that to my brother, mostly because I don't have a brother. But if I had a brother, I can't imagine doing that to somebody that I cared about, to somebody that I loved, to stab them in the back like that, to take what should be there. But he does it. And Esau gets mad, if you remember. He gets furious with him, so mad that he wants to kill Jacob. And so rather than stand there and take it like a man, what does Jacob do? He runs. He runs. He runs for days and days. His mother actually sends him to his uncle's house, doesn't he? And we know later in the story that Jacob becomes Israel, right? He becomes the nation that God blesses. But at this moment in time, in Genesis chapter 28, we find Jacob the backstabbing shell of a man that God meant for him to be. Can you imagine if he lays down to sleep tonight with nothing but a rock to put his head on? What a sad shell of a man. As he's laying there and he's sleeping, he has this dream. And to me, this would be an amazing dream. He sees the ladder extending from earth all the way up to heaven, with angels going up and down. Up and down. And God standing at the top of it. That would be amazing. I can't even imagine a dream like that. I mean, we have crazy dreams all the time. But to see this picture of heaven, to actually be able to look into heaven itself, how awesome would that be? And all of a sudden, Jacob wakes up in verse 16, and he says, "Surely the Lord was in this place. The Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." I could not have known it. The Lord was in this place. In verse 17, he says this, "How awesome is this place?" And that's kind of where the whole idea of tonight's lesson comes from. How awesome is this place? This place right here, right now. Not so much the physical building, but this place where we are at in our lives. You know, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're middle-aged, the place where you're at right now in your life. You have the power to do anything that you want. And tomorrow doesn't have to be like today. And the day after doesn't have to be like tomorrow. You can change. It happens. But tonight I want us to look at three awesome things from this verse. Three awesome things. The first one is this: our awesome house. And when I say this, I'm going to turn my notes around here. Not so much this physical building, this physical house. I want us to think of the word house in spiritual New Testament terms. They're big words, aren't they? Spiritual New Testament words. What do you think that would be? Yeah. Not the physical building, but the church. The church of Jesus Christ. How awesome is this house that we're able to be a part of? If you read with me, I believe it's verse 16 and 17 still. 16 says that Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." This right here, folks, is the house of God. The house of God. Are your brothers and your sisters sitting next to you across the room? The house of God. I've got to change it one more time. And we're done. When you get into trouble, all you have to do is look around you. Sometimes we get into trouble and we think, "Oh, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? Why would you leave me all alone like this?" And the next time you start thinking like that, I want you to remember all these people. I don't know how many people are in here tonight. I'd say there's close to 400. Maybe even more, like 500. 500 people in this room that care about you, that want to see you succeed, and they want to see you do things with your life. You know, what better place to turn than your family? Than your Christian family. How many of you guys have ever heard this phrase, "hold the rope"? Have you ever heard that? Some of you who play sports might have. Alright, one out of here. Alright, the story behind this, "hold the rope." I want you all to do a little bit more imagining with me here tonight. But imagine yourself dangling off the edge of the cliff. And the only thing between you and 20,000 feet straight down to a big flat rock is a rope. And the person of your choice on the other end. Who would you choose to be on that other end? Who would you want to stand there and hold that rope when it burns, when they could give up, when they'd want to give up, when they could look down and they could see the blood coming out of their hands? Who do you want on the other end of that rope? Who would it be? It says if you can find five people in your life, if you could look around this room and find five people that you could say, "they would hold the rope for me." You know something? That's not enough. It's not enough. If you could look around this room and maybe find 10 people. You know, that sounds pretty good, right, don't it? 10 people that would hold on to that rope for me. That's still not enough. It's not enough until you can look at everybody in this room and know without a doubt that they would hold on to that rope for you no matter what happened. And you're not truly a family. You're not truly a family. But as I stand here, I can look at you all. And I think I can honestly say without a doubt that everybody in this room would hold on to my rope. And I'm so grateful for that, because I know that I lean on a number of you all the time. And I'm so thankful for your presence in my life. Young people, I want to challenge you to find those people in your life. You know, not just the person to your right or your left, but everybody here. Make friends with everybody in this room. I know that's a challenge. So the next time you get into this, into that situation where you're thinking, I'm the only one, you're not. You're not the only one. The next thing that I want us to look at, our awesome house, is our awesome helper. Our awesome helper, what could I possibly be talking about here? Read with me. We'll drop that. Verses 20 and 21 of chapter 28. It says, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I will go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. The Lord shall be my God. This helper that we're talking about is God. Is God. If you look in Psalm 46 and verse 1, it talks about the Lord is my strength, a very present help in times of trouble. The Lord is an awesome helper. As good as it is to have all the people in this room holding onto your rope, no offense, more than you guys, I want God on the end of that rope. I want God to be able to stand there and hold onto that rope for me. I want to be sure that He's there. But the question then comes, how do you find this helper? How do you find God? Because honestly, doesn't it seem like He's not there sometimes? You ever find yourself wondering, God, where were you when this happened? Why weren't you there to stop it? Why weren't you there to help me? I'm a Christian. I do everything I'm supposed to. Where were you? I think we can find a lot of strength in these words from David. If you turn over, well, you don't even have to turn over if I can get it to work here. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Doesn't want to work. 1 Chronicles 28. Look at it in verse 9. And David, he's laid all the plans for the temple. He remembered God wouldn't allow him to build it. But he comes to this point in his life. He's getting ready to die. He passes the plans for the temple on to his son Solomon. And here in verse 9, he says these words. He says, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. The Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. Skip down with me to verse 20. So that David said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Were you listening to those words? If you seek Him, He will be found by you. If you look for Him. I think it's interesting that He tells Solomon to seek God. Because how do we look for God most of the time? We kick back and we wait for Him to come, don't we? So, all right, God, here I am. It's not the way it works. You know, Matthew tells us that in chapter 6 and verse 33, doesn't he? You've got to seek Him. Seek and you will find. Because I think this is interesting too. God doesn't force Himself into our lives, does He? Now, He doesn't take you by the hand and lead you everywhere that you need to go. He doesn't come in your life and say, all right, here I am. I also think it's comforting, you know, Paul, we talked about him earlier, in Acts, as he's speaking there, he talks about that God is not that far away. He's not that far away from each and every one of you. All you have to do is stretch out your hand and find him. Take an active role in looking for him, because he's not going to force his way into your life. It has to be something that you want. What an awesome thing for us to be able to say, you know, in Hebrews 13 and verse 6. It says that the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. The Lord is my helper. I hope that he's your helper. And if he's not tonight, I hope that you strive very hard to make him that. That you can have this awesome helper in your life. The last thing that I want to look at. We have our awesome house, our awesome helper, and lastly, our awesome home. I know you may be sitting there thinking, awesome home. All right, Danny, we just talked about our awesome house. All right, I believe there is a difference between a house and a home. I believe that difference is this. Houses are temporary. They're made with wood, brick, sheetrock. You see on TV all the time, all it takes is earthquake, tornado, fire, the house is gone. And trust me, folks, this house, one day it's going to be gone. One day, we're going to get to go home. We're going to get to go to that home in heaven with God. Have you ever thought about that? Have you thought about that home that we have to look forward to, heaven? Sometimes we don't like to use that word. I think we get scared of it. It's okay to say the word heaven. Just like it's okay to say the word hell. As scary as that is. Heaven. It's going to happen. Maybe not in my lifetime. But heaven is really going to happen. We're actually going to get to go there. We're going to get to be with God himself. If that doesn't put a smile on your face tonight, I don't know what will. We're going to get to go to heaven. Notice at the end of verse 21, as Jacob is there, he's talking about returning to his father's house, for he will be with the Lord his God. For the Lord will be his God forever. Think about that time when we get to return back to our father's home, the place where we came from. Yeah, because it really is our home. That's where we started out, and we get to go back there. I'm pretty excited about that. We get to go back to our home. And he will be our God forever. Heaven. Have you ever thought about all the words and the ways that we describe heaven? And we sing the song, how beautiful heaven must be. We sing the song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. You know, because it beats the house that I'm trying to buy. I've got a mansion over that hilltop. We sing that heaven will surely be worth it all. We sing these songs. But do we really believe it? Heaven is going to be a beautiful place. It is going to beat anything that we've got down here. And no matter what we have sacrificed down here, it's going to be worth it. I guarantee you that. Heaven will be worth it. Now when we're talking about it, if you look in Revelation 21, you can just see a description of heaven. We're talking about streets of gold so pure that it's actually clear. Of gates made out of the precious gemstones. Of a place where there's light all the time. There's no darkness. There's no tears. There's no crying. No sadness. Because we are with our Father. We are with that awesome helper. I skipped a bunch here. How awesome will that be? What an awesome sight it's going to be when we get to go to heaven. We get to take all of our family with us. So tonight, what about you? What about you? Have you entered into that house of the Lord? To this house of the Lord? And when I ask that, I mean, have you been baptized, young people? Have you been baptized? That is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you have any questions, you can talk to myself. You can talk to any of the people that are around you. You've got to be baptized. You've got to enter into this house and put on the name of Christian the name of Christ, and be willing to follow Him and serve Him all the days of your life, even when it's not easy. You've got to serve Him. Are you continually seeking God in your life? If you have been baptized, this question is for you. Are you seeking God in your life? In everything that you do every single day, is God on your mind? Are you actively looking for Him? Or are you still just kicked back in the recliner waiting on Him to get there? Because that's not the way to find Him. Are you a member of this house? Are you seeking Him lastly? Are you prepared to enter that heavenly home? Do you want to go home? I do. I want to go home. I can't wait to get there. I love this job. I love you people. I love being here. But I can't wait to go home. I hope that you share with me in that excitement. If there's anything that we can do for you tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'll offer prayers. There's a baptistry behind this screen, believe it or not. It's got water in it. It's ready for you to be baptized. If there's anything we can help you with tonight, please come and stand and sing.